Hello and welcome to Nintendo Podcast System, episode 63. I'm your host, Matthew Gibson, and joining me, as always, is Jack Gorn.
Hello, how are we all doing?
We're all doing good, I hope. We should be, because there was a direct, and many a fan was happy. Yes.
Wow, there's still mixed opinion in places on the internet, but that's the internet. There's always mixed opinions there.
Mm-hmm. So of course, with that massive direct, hopefully by the time you're listening to this, it should be just about 48 hours since it first aired. So that should be good. Enough time. Good enough elapse. So hopefully you've got your opinions of it as well. So of course we're going to be talking about the direct. In true Nintendo podcast fashion, we'll be discussing every game that was shown, as well as just giving our overall thoughts on the direct as a whole. And this is the games we've been playing, because it's been a long time since the two of us did a show together, so there's a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, you've not been on for ages, because you're doing exams and stuff.
Well, like, if we're judging by episode time, it's only been two episodes. But in real time, almost three months. I think the last one's over 2 months ago.
November?
Yeah, so that was, like, over 2 months ago.
It's now, like, February.
Yeah.
I managed only two podcasts in that time.
They're still good episodes.
They were good episodes. I did enjoy them, especially with Patrick. That was a very good episode.
I'm just trying to think of an intro. I thought I had one, but like then I went to listen to it and I was like, oh, this is just okay.
Just okay.
Because originally I was going for Dearly Beloved, which of course is the classic menu theme from the Kingdom Hearts series. More precisely, the 3DS version of Dearly Beloved.
Yes, that'll work.
I don't feel that as right, so I'm gonna let me see if I could do something else.
So much choice. You could choose one of the games that were announced and use the songs from that.
Ooh. No, I'm
E.G. Deltarune, because I got all of them.
I'm gonna go for the Dearly Beloved from 358/2 days. Which is actually 358 days over two, if you must know. Don't ask.
Yeah. Stupid name.
Dearly Beloved.
I think it's 358 days and a half a day is what it's supposed to be, but they obviously didn't quite understand logic. So.
It's 358 over 2 days. That's what it should be. Wait, what's the logo?
Yeah.
What's the logo again? Yeah.
Oh, I do.
That is. Fuck's sake. See, like, the thing is, 358... Oh, this is playing, I'm sorry. I realise that the audio that I'm playing on my YouTube will proceed into the thing. So sorry that you're hearing that again, everybody. A little bit of audio muck-up. No, I can't, because it's all together. It's annoying. Anyway. I don't know, I was just going to have a little rant that, like, 358 days over two probably makes more sense than 358 over 2 days.
None of it makes sense. It's Kingdom Hearts. It doesn't make sense.
What was I thinking?
It's got Disney stuff, and it's got Final Fantasy characters, and apparently they're all in the same world, but they're all over the place, like the story, and it's like meant a completely mess all everywhere.
And we all love it.
Yeah. And we all love
it. Yes, that's our opening for this episode. And with that, let's dive right into our direct. So this is the direct portion of the podcast. Of course, a big focus of this episode is talking about our thoughts on everything that was shown off during the Nintendo Direct presentation, the 13th of February, 2019. So I thought we could start off with just our general thoughts. So, what do you think overall?
I really enjoyed most of it. Yeah, I think there was lots of good points in there. Definitely some decent surprises. Yeah, I think overall it was pretty good in general. Mm-hmm. Not much more I can say. Matthew, your thoughts?
Pretty much in the same boat. Again, you know, good surprises, although I did let myself get spoiled a bit by one supposed industry insider.
Right.
Talking about King Zell, who correctly put out some of the titles, and we'll get into those titles in a little bit. Initially, though, I was disappointed by something that I really wanted to see, and admittedly, I was really expecting to see. I was really expecting to see this, and I was really hoping I would see this. And I was just let down, and that sat through me throughout the entire show. So, by the end of it, I was a bit bummed out, and I don't think it ended as strongly as it could have, despite the announcement, which is still great. But it didn't have the same impact as, like, Animal Crossing or Smash from last year's two main directs, personally.
Okay.
That's just me. But overall, yeah, very good. I've rewatched it. I think it's a very solid showing. And I'm very happy with one game in particular getting the spotlight. So, how can I not be too happy?
Is it the Disney game?
How do you know? I see here, though, we've got some little extras Jeff has added, which will be good to go over quickly. Hollow Knight Silksong has just been announced by, and it's supposed to be a sequel to the, I'd say it's probably a classic at this point, right? With this.
Well, it did very well. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't know if classic is quite the right word, but yes, it did very well.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you could go over, because you're saying Hat in Time releases, but
yes, Hat in Times is looking to launch in spring on the Switch.
Oh, okay.
So it's very, very soon.
I must have missed that then.
SteamWorld Quest, which is like from SteamWorld Dig and that sort of mm-hmm. like universe, that is also looking to launch in the spring as well. We also got the announcements for some amiibo.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Young Link, Ken, and Daisy amiibo will be releasing April 12th. And there was some other amiibo that was shown.
The Pokemon as trainer, as well as individual Ivysaur and Squirtle amiibo coming along.
Oh, I really like the Ivysaur one. It looked really cool. But also Snake, and there was another character. Simon, that's it. Simon as well. What I think about this though, Matt, while I got you here, Joker amiibo, I'm sure you'll be getting that.
Day one, definitely.
Day one. I'm sure. and I think there is one extra thing here on our extras list, which I'm going to leave for when we mention the game. So should we just get straight into it?
And this little fucking kick down the doors, guns blazing, with Super Mario Maker 2.
Yeah.
What a way to start.
We've been memeing this for years that it was going to make a Mario Maker 2 and it's going to be amazing. And then they actually went and did it.
The madness.
so, Okay.
I'm very, very happy they're going the sequel route with this. I feel like a port would have been nice, but I feel like there's a lot that could be done with the sequel.
From the trailer. And if you look through like the trailer, there's a lot of extras that have been added.
One of the big things for me was the fucking 3D world. A 3D game is getting its own style, which I love, because I did actually unironically love 3D World. I would love to replay it, trying to get a better opinion of it.
I wasn't a big fan, to be honest, but yeah, I can see the appeal there.
I do love it. I think if it's better than most 3D Mario games, just because it can fit with the themes more often compared to the other 3D Marios. You know, you've got the grass, you've got the jungle, you've got the ice, underwater.
This is what I was thinking, because, like, all the stuff that gets added from that game, like, newer stuff, does that mean they're going to be included in the, like, previous versions of the games?
Because that's how it worked in the original, didn't it? I can't think
that would include, though. I don't, like, the different enemies and things, maybe, but...
Definitely not the power. Other than that. Because it's like, so... It's like the cape was exclusive to Mario World. Or unless they've changed that now. Yeah, so like they added slopes, which is actually really funny that that's the first thing they showed off. It's like they knew people wanted slopes. Like fucking fine, everyone have your slopes. Jesus. So I'm happy with that. I don't know, I'm loving the UI with the circles. I think that's really cool. I'm just happy it's Mario Maker, because that's making a lot of people happy. Because everyone loves it. So I'm happy as she's coming out. The sequel's coming out. And it seems we could be getting co-op?
Yes, because Luigi's popped up as a character on the cover
as well
and things
as
like that. So.
Toadette and I believe Blue Toad.
Oh, I've not
seen
them. You can
see Toadette having
there.
a Ketsu power up, so I presume
so. Oh. Okay. Does that mean two player for the 2D levels, is like the main like levels from like the original Mario Bros and Mario Bros 3 and stuff like that as well?
Possibly. Super Mario Bros. That would be nice.
And what I did notice, so the son from Super Mario Bros.
That's
3
in it.
Was the enemy.
So good.
Oh my god, that's
awesome. but some of the stuff as well, it's like... It seems like we're getting a lot. Like, you could have just sections of water. You don't have to be underwater to have water sections. Which is great.
What do you mean?
So it's like... So in the original Mario Maker, if you wanted to go under, if you wanted to have a water portion, you had to have the whole thing underwater, right?
No, you could switch the world.
Yeah, you could switch your world, but within that world, it's only underwater, right? You can't have a land bit and you can't have a water bit.
No, I suppose you couldn't. No.
But now you can.
Do both. Yeah. Okay.
So it's like
that's sort of cool.
So hopefully that will like go to other houses, and then you've got the snake blocks. You could determine how it goes, how it moves. Mm-hmm.
On and off switches. Mm-hmm. There's just lots more of like mechanics that have been added that you could probably use in different ways. I'm looking forward to see the creativity of everyone who gets this game.
You've got snow worlds and you've got jungle worlds. Oh, it's great. I'm really happy. And the crazy thing is...
It looks great. It looks really good.
There's still a lot that we don't know. That's the thing. So it's like...
And that's coming out in June.
June, yeah. So I could see that they could do a direct for this. Like maybe May, sort of like how they did with ARMS.
Maybe.
I can see it, because I feel like there'd be enough just to go through, these are all the stuff you can unlock. And I'd say that would be worth like a 25-minute direct, to be honest, and like as well as other features and stuff.
Yeah, but that's the future, and we've still got this direct to talk about.
Moving on to Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order. This was first revealed at the Game Awards last year.
Was it? Okay. I didn't watch Game Awards, so.
And it is a Switch exclusive, which is very good to have. Because I feel like we haven't gotten many big third-party exclusives yet, apart from like Ubisoft stuff. So
it was a popular series back in the day. But,
so it's called that's getting revived.
It looked like a mobile game. It was really weird.
So any thoughts on this? Or
yeah, it looks fun. I'm sure if you're a Marvel fanboy, you're probably going to pick it up. So I'd like to see a bit more of it first before making assumptions, but we'll see.
Moving on then to Box Boy and Box Girl. This was one of the titles.
3DS. Games for the 3DS originally.
Yes, but this is a new game, I believe. Like a sequel.
Yeah.
Which is nice to hear. With co-op as well. And you can play as the long boy. Whatever his name is. Boy. It's cool that it's coming to Switch. I'm not going to shit on it, but it's personally, I didn't like it too much. But
yeah,
it's nice to have.
There's some interesting puzzles and stuff in it.
It's nice to have. You can't go too wrong with it. and then this was one of the titles King Zell mentioned.
This is where you got, you got trolled for the next one, didn't you?
So staying on this one for a bit, so like King Zell, aside from Mario Maker 2 and I think 2D Zelda, he mentioned Box Boy was coming to Switch. That's one of the things. Okay, hopefully I can remember it when we get to the end. But I need to remember to talk about the Metroid trilogy. That'd be something, because I thought that was a given. Anyway, the next item on the list is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Also known as the most disappointing thing about the Direct. So, details are that there is a new version of the game coming, version 3.0. And they started to tease us by saying there are new hefty, beefy updates coming to the game. And it's like, what are they, you ask? Well, you have to wait out. It's like, well, fuck you then.
We've got updates. We're not telling you what they are.
judging by the blurred image, I'm feeling it's going to be a stage builder. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was what my first thought was. But yeah.
Unless they're just going to add the stadium stuff now.
Ooh, that'd be nice. I feel like that's something that was kind of missing. It's
You got to see Joker as well.
This is the most
model. Anyway,
I'm annoyed. I was gonna like finish off about the other stuff first, but fine, we'll talk about Joker first of all. I haven't explicitly mentioned this in the podcast yet. Fucking Joker getting revealed at 4 a.m. in the morning during the Game Awards on the same day Smash Bros. Was launching. It's fucking hype. You know, it's just like...
That's 5 F-bombs. Pardon? That's 5 F-bombs.
I'm sorry. I'm in a really sweary mood today.
Yeah, I know.
More so than usual.
Have you been on the beers?
It was just like, he was probably my most wanted character. I'd say maybe second to Layton. But I'd say Layton and Joker were like tied for first, pretty much. Because of course, I talked about it before, I love Persona 5. I consider it one of my favourite games of all time. Never thought it was going to happen. Never. I thought Nintendo would go the safe route, being like, oh yeah, we'll get like some mega popular third parties like Crash and Steve, and then some Nintendo characters to promote our stuff, like new protagonists from Fire Emblem Three Houses, and then maybe some other stuff as well. But no, they just went and did it. They just went and it was so hype. I was not expecting that. Very happy.
Well,
Did
it
a whole
happens.
competition, gave out Fire's Pass in celebration. Talk about it in a little bit. And then I was really, really expecting gameplay of Joker. I mean, Smash is their biggest game right now. This is their first direct in ages. There's gonna be a trailer. There's gotta be a trailer or something. I can't see them not dropping a big trailer. And then no,
Nope.
they just thought the back would be okay. And they were right, because he looks fucking pretty. I'm not gay.
I've six.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I feel like the title for this would be called Count.
If you could count the rest from the
Count.
audience and let me know how many there is at
Counting the
the
F-bombs. That's the title.
end of this.
Yeah, I don't know, because I've just been so curious on like how he's actually gonna look in the game. But just to see his model was just so cool. But then they were like, "Oh, and that's it." I was just annoyed. I was just annoyed.
So the next director, obviously going to see more
The
from
thing
Smash
is,
Bros. Ultimate is before
the ne
E3.
okay, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the next direct will be Pokemon Direct. And that's when we get Gen 8. Then the next direct after that will be Smash Bros. Direct, and that'll be happening in like round mid.
Luigi's Mansion 3, Animal Crossing. There's lots of games coming from
Yeah,
Nintendo.
but
It's going to be a massive direct next.
judging by version 3.0, if it's really biggie that I had to do this fucking tease for it, that's 7. Then we'll be getting directs. It will open with Joker gameplay. We'll get the trailer. It's playing Life Will Change, Your Last Surprise in the background. And
And then we'll get another
then Sakurai goes to camera like, yeah, Persona 5 is great, play it. And that's literally the whole presentation. And then it cuts back.
on Switch.
They could do that, but I don't know. But yeah, what's it? So, yes. So
Anyway, is that just wrapped up that?
they
So.
talk about Joker, doing the gameplay, especially the music. They're definitely gonna highlight the music in that, and then they're gonna talk about the other stuff coming in version 3.0. Should be stage builder, I feel, and then maybe some other stuff. And
It
then,
seems like that. Yeah.
yeah, but this is Smash Direct. That's the thing. Not a general direct, a Smash Direct. And then, they'll end it with a tease for DLC Pack Challenger 2, which will be Erdrick from Dragon Quest, and that's how I think. Anyway, that's too far in the future. So I'm just happy it got confirmed that Joker is arriving sometime before the end of April, and that's fine. I think that was the time everybody was expecting. So I'm not complaining too much.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. I'm just happy he's in the game at all. I'm just really salty because I was really, really expecting gameplay during the direct here.
Didn't get
No.
it. So there we go.
Very sad.
Toad.
Yeah. It's Captain Toad.
Yeah. It's Captain Toad. It's on sale in the eShop at the moment, so if you do want to pick it up, I'll pick it up
I
now.
think the fact that Captain Toad has got DLC, but not Mario Odyssey, confirms that there is a Mario Odyssey sequel in development.
No, don't be silly.
Oh, you're so skilled with sarcasm, Jack.
No, I just don't think it's gonna happen.
What, we're not gonna get an Odyssey sequel?
No. No, I'm not convinced.
Why not?
Prove me wrong, internet. but I'm not convinced.
Yeah, but why are you not convinced?
Because we got like other Mario games like Super Mario Maker to be promoted instead.
Yeah, like I don't think there'll be a sequel this year.
Yeah, the 2D series, you know, the more popular series.
That was only a port. Anyway.
Hey?
I think... But yeah, I mean... You can say that for the same between Galaxy 1 and Galaxy 2. I think we could be seeing Odyssey 2 in 2020.
I don't think we'll see it at all, if I'm honest. I don't,
ever?
I don't think... It's too big of a game to, like, remake another one so quickly. And if we do, it's going to be, another 3-4 years.
What, from now?
Yeah.
Hmm. Maybe. I'm just going to sip some tea.
Captain Toad has lots of DLC, which is mainly free. And then they've got some DLC
Captain Toad.
So, yeah. If you like Captain Toad, that'd be great for you. And I hope you've already got it already and you can pick it up for free, lots of stuff, and play it. Yay.
Then moving on.
What's Blood?
So... Bloodstained, I think it's Ritual of the Night. Let me check. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night is the spiritual successor to the Castlevania series. So I believe it's made by the same...
Konami?
It's not made by Konami, but it's made by the same person as... Or like, at least some of the original team from the original Castlevania. I'm not sure. Right. But that it's sort of sense. Like a Mighty Number 9 situation, where that was supposed to be the spiritual successor to... Mega Man. But in this case, Bloodstained actually looks good. So this got confirmed for Switch. I don't believe it was prior to this, so it's really cool to see this announced. Because, of course, given its... given the genre and given its gameplay, it fits so well. It fits right at home in Switch. I'm looking forward to this, actually. It seems like I could get into it.
Okay.
What about you then?
I've never even heard of it.
You've never heard of it? Wow.
No. Okay. Not until. Yeah. So.
Dragon Quest.
If you like Dragon Quest games, there's two games coming out for you.
The first is Dragon Quest Builders 2, i.e., Minecraft but for weebs 2.
Wow.
It really is Minecraft, but...
It was quite popular, the first game. The first game of the Builders series was they was quite fun.
Oh, you played Builders?
I played bits of it. I don't know, a lot of the demos and things and things like that, but it wasn't amazing, but...
Yeah,
if you like Dragon Quest, you'll probably like it.
I have heard good things about Builders, about the Builders series. So it's cool that the second one is getting localized. My voice is just really weird today. I've been speaking too much. That's weird. Anyway. I just have this weird feeling. The next one, though. Dragon Quest XI S. Echoes of a Forgotten Age. I believe.
It was like Dragon Ball Z. But Echoes, if he was an RPG.
Echoes of an Elusive Age. This looks great. Dragon Quest XI was pretty much always on my radar, admittedly. Because I, of course, with Persona 5 and like Tokyo Mirai Sessions, I've been more and more keen into traditional RPGs. JRPGs, rather. And released over here for PS4 and Windows in September 2018.
Dragon Quest series in general, though, I think that I don't know if I'm right with this, but I don't believe it was like released over here very often.
What do you mean? I think
it got released in America, and I don't think it got released in Europe straight away. The actual series.
Oh,
I don't
the
know,
actual.
Maybe I'm
what, like the original?
Probably. Yeah, I love Dragon Quest, and I think that's where a lot of us just sort of missed a few.
Maybe.
So, like, trying to follow a series you've never really played the originals of, it's a little bit difficult. But I saw a lot of happy people that this game was coming.
I think they're like references to like older games, of course, but it's like it's sort of like the Persona series, where it's like each numbered one is like it's completely new story and characters.
Different.
So okay. I'm actually really looking forward to S because it has orchestrated music. It has you can play it on the go. It has the 3DS content, which we're not getting over here. We're not getting the 3DS game, but we are getting the content from the 3DS game. Because the 3DS game was played in this top down style. So like the old retro classic Dragon Quest games.
Right.
Because that's a really nice way to get the 3DS content over here to us in the West. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm keen to see more. Glad it's coming out this year. But next one though. Disney Tsum Tsum. Oh yes.
It's, game of the whole direct.
Actually, no. There's another one coming up, but for now, we'll say it's Disney Tsum Tsum.
Yeah.
I can't give a toss. Moving on.
It was like little animals that like toys that are like dressed up as Disney characters, and then it was like a sort of mini game thing.
Essentially.
The mini games looked fun, but I don't get the whole Tsum Tsums
are like a real plushie you could get in real life. And these are just games utilizing those sort of designs.
Disney characters. So, yeah. It looked a fun game. It just seemed a bit odd. You know, it was a bit weird. The way where they placed it in this direct as well. It just didn't seem like it should have been right in the middle.
it is what it is. It is like... Was it a weird?
It's coming up to Disney. Yeah.
Is weird, but that was the thing to start off like the new set of headlines. So it's like whatever, it's a game.
Yeah.
There have been worse, much like the next one being Starlink.
How dare you?
That's right, I said it. Anyway, Starlink's not my thing, but I know it's your thing, Jack. So why don't you talk about
it? Have you played?
No, I haven't bothered to get it.
That's why you don't like it.
It's 15 quid too expensive.
15 quid, go buy it. Literally, go buy it.
Yeah, exactly, it's 15 quid too expensive.
Wow. So apparently Star Fox Grand Prix is actually a thing.
Oh, no.
There's a racing part in this game that they've added with the DLC that's coming. Also involves the pilots of Star Wolf, the other people, Pigma Degmar, Leon, and Andrew. Oh, I remembered all the names, yes. they're all coming to a part of it. I don't know if it's actually extra story modes or not, but it seemed like they were involved at some point, and I think it's mainly just chasing round planets with them or something. But yeah, it looked fun. Looked good. Starlink's been very good. I've played quite a lot of it over the winter periods. I've really enjoyed it. I think it's been really good. And the fact that I paid £40 for it and I've still really enjoyed it and everyone else is now paying £15 for it, I'm not salty at all, of course. So, yeah, lots more to come from that series. I'm a bit confused whether they're going to release any more pilots and stuff because of this DLC, though. Whether you're going to get extra bits for the Slippy and Peppy and Falco or not. But we'll wait and see, maybe. Who knows? Yay! it looks good.
The next one then is Rune Factory 4 Special, which is a port of the DS.
No idea what this is.
I don't know either until my flatmate, who was watching it alongside me, told me what it was. And there are There are waifus in this game because you can literally marry people. So how could I not enjoy it?
Wow. That's a
Yeah, I don't
game.
know. Rune Factory 4 doesn't seem like my cup of tea, but for fans of the series,
Number five might be.
4 may be it for you if you missed out or you want to re-experiences. And also, 5 is in development as well, so that's a nice surprise for fans of the series.
Yay. What? That's literally just
Next one is Oninaki, which is from Square Enix and is by the same team as Lost Sphere and Setsuna's World. That's it.
Square Enix game.
So no thoughts.
That's literally all I could tell you. It's like it's very Matthew. So
What the hell? Moving on then, we.
So that transfer some worlds or something was that's all I got from that. I didn't really
I don't
quite
know.
understand everything of that. But yeah, anyway.
Moving on to Yoshi's Crafted World, which is coming late March of this year, so it's finally got a release date.
Doesn't it look
It does look
fantastic?
pretty fun, to be honest.
Visually, it is fantastic to look at.
That was very pleasing.
Gameplay looked a little more challenging than compared to previous Yoshi
Oh, that's
games as
pretty good
well.
then. I didn't really notice that, to be honest.
Yeah, it looked a little bit more challenging, like more to it kind of thing. Whereas previous Yoshi games have been quite like easy to play and pick up and play kind of thing. So yeah, I might keep an eye on this one. It was very interesting. I do like the extra costumes that have been added. So
Oh,
basically, Yoshi has extra costume you can pick up and use as an armor piece. But apparently, there's over, well, there's 180 to collect at the moment. So they're like different sort of like shapes and boxes of things. So like the first sort of part he's shown on the screen was Bullet Bill as a costume, but it was all made of cardboard.
it's adorable.
And I thought, oh, it's adorable. It's pretty cute. Yeah, definitely. But 180 to collect, so at least that gives you something extra to do in the game, I suppose. So, but yeah, it did look interesting. I might have a look at this. So, whereas normally Yoshi games I would avoid, but that looked quite cool.
Yeah, so I need to try out the demo.
Yes, the demo's out
I
now,
have
so you
downloaded it, but
I will pick that demo up as well, so we can talk about it next episode, I'm sure. Cool. I'm now going to fall asleep for the next 10
10
minutes
minutes.
because Matthew's going to talk about Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem, something weep.
Switched off this part of the game and went and played some Switch
Yes, it
games.
is Fire
So,
Emblem Three Houses.
what happened to the other two?
Who knows? Anyway, so of course fans of the show would know
Bit greedy.
that I do like Fire Emblem, and they should also know that they also hold the right opinion that Fire Emblem is better than Advance Wars. Judging by not a guy that hasn't played
But not as
Advance Wars.
smooth.
So I've been looking forward to Three Houses for, or at least more information regarding Three Houses for a long time. First announced all the way back in January of 2017. Didn't get a first look until June of 2018 at E3. I was left feeling a bit pleased, but a bit lack. I felt like it was lacking something. I wasn't sure what it was.
Have we seen any gameplay
We
yet?
have seen gameplay.
Did we? I don't even see.
You're just shitting on no for no good reason, man. That is just like a low blow. That's not even good.
We just had some green-haired lady who was just like, "Ooh, I'm a lady," and then that was it. And I was like, "Right, wow, okay, that was interesting." Not so.
There was literally more than that. If
Was
you
there?
actually had the intelligence to pay attention, you'd see there's
I
more.
was playing Wargroove.
That's fair. I need to get Wargroove.
It's much a version of Fire Emblem, so.
Yeah, I don't know. E3's trailer didn't make me too excited for it. I was still pumped for it. Whatever. But after rewatching this footage, I can safely say I am very, very excited for Fire Emblem Three Houses. Because first of all, they got a new logo and it looks gorgeous. So it's already a better game.
The logo? Yeah. there's another game that's going to win that one easy. But Sally, yeah, okay, carry on.
You know what? Logos are important.
There are some good logos.
If one was shite, yeah, then they've improved this one. I'm happy.
I'm quite... to talk about logos, just briefly, the logo for Grip, or whatever, the game with like the cart that you can turn over kind of thing, it's like Grip, and you can turn it upside down, and it also still says Grip.
Oh, yes.
So cool. Such a cool logo.
It's very weird.
The game's okay.
Okay. So, story-wise, I'm not sure how this goes, but in terms of, like, its general idea, I'm really, really interested in Fire Emblem Three Houses. So the core idea is that you start out as a mercenary, and then you get enrolled into... I can't explain it, but like those that have watched the direct should have already seen. But basically, in this kingdom, there are like three factions that live in harmony. There's a red one, there's a yellow one, and there's a blue one. So it's pretty much Hogwarts, but without Slytherin. Anyway.
I did see a few people say about Slytherin.
So, and then at the center of it, there's like a church for like the religion of this kingdom, as well as the Knights Academy, which trains up all the young people, and there are houses for each of the faction. So that's where you get free houses. So it's not like the houses in the street or like houses in like an important sense. It's just fucking schoolhouses. Anyway, so you then become a professor at this academy, and then you have to train up the students of yours. And so these students could go out to train, either by battling other houses or going out for missions. So I feel like that would be a more of a unique approach, and it definitely beats just the same thing as like, oh, this dude has a destined power, let's use it to defeat evil. They will definitely...
Let's stand next to each other and use our marriage things.
Actually,
we
haven't seen that before. We haven't seen that in Three Houses yet. You know, I wouldn't mind if that didn't happen. It would be good to have support. You know what? Echoes didn't have that. Echoes didn't have a marriage system. So, there. Anyway.
That was the one with the rubbing faces, wasn't it?
No, that was Fates. And that was only Japanese, okay. By the way, I have you know.
Yeah, because you're not good enough for it. God, all the content was removed from game.
literally shook. How dare they?
Removed.
I just like that setting. I don't know why. It's just such a like unique setting. I'm not sure how it'll play out. But I'm glad they've took the risk to try on something new. And the other thing as well, you know, I want to rewatch it again to try and get a better understanding of mechanics.
But, how many times have you watched it?
I've only watched it twice.
Okay. I'll let you...
What do you mean you let me off? Am I contaminated if I watch it too many times? Though.
Yeah, but with normally these trailers, you'd watch it like three or four times, wouldn't you, in general? Maybe that as it gets more released, closer to the release date.
Maybe.
So it's not too bad for you, Pat, to be fair.
Not too bad for me, thank you. So just to see how it plays out. It seems like you could also tell which students what to study, so they grow in what they could use. Which is really cool. So if you want someone to start using magic, tell them, oh, hey, study this. And like, sure thing, professor. And then they'll do it. It's like, damn right you will. And then you got a magic user. I think. I don't know. I want to have. I'm looking forward to Game Explains analysis because I'm still really curious about everything else. But in short, it looks a lot better than it did at E3. I'm glad they've took the extra time.
Can't do it in short.
I'm glad they took the extra time to push it up because, of course, originally it was going to be in 2018, but it got pushed back. They are pushing it back a little bit further to July 26, 2019, which thankfully is after my exams, which is very nice.
Yay!
Yeah, I'm just pumped for this game. I could see it getting quite a chunky section in their E3 as well, which would be nice. Maybe its own direct, actually.
Maybe. Is that everything for Fire Emblem?
That is. I'm sorry. I'm fine.
Can I come back to the conversation?
You are safe. Do not worry. Yeah, I'm going to welcome you back.
That's good, because I really want to talk about the next game.
Tetris Battle Royale.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so good. I love it already. Like, I've played it like three times, and it's so good.
Only three?
I played it three times last night, and literally I come second, first, and then my game died on me when I was in top five. So,
God damn.
I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah,
it.
But you really like Tetris, though, don't you?
I really do like Tetris and puzzle games in general, if I'm honest. So
do you not have Tetris Effect yet?
No, I did not have Tetris Effect yet, because I prefer to get that on VR, and I don't have a VR system, so, you know. But I do have Tetris Puyo on Switch already, so, and I've played quite a lot of that. But this is basically Battle Tetris, but against 99 other players. The UI is very clustered, but very interesting the way they've sort of done it. You've got one main screen in the middle of the screen, and then everyone else is sort of surrounded around you in smaller charts. But I think Matt got very confused at first to how that sort of works, because you can target individual players or you can target certain players for doing certain things. For example, there's a medal system, so you can knock out a player and you get a medal. And
badge, isn't it?
Badge or medal, whatever it's called. Yeah,
why don't you be precise, Jack? I'm sorry.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry, whatever. I've had two late nights, I can't do this. but you get a badge, and basically you are the best player in the ratings because you knocked someone out. You can target the best rated player, so everyone can target that player, and you all go against that person, sending your Tetris blocks over to him and try and fill his screen or her screen completely. So it's a very unique way of doing it, and you can also set to look at the screen and set the individuals with the control sticks, but you actually play the game itself with a D-pad. So it's very much to control where you are attacking and defending at the same time. So it's kind of cool. I like the way it's sort of set up. There's different ways of defending and attacking, and you can just play normal Tetris as well and just enjoy it. So yeah, it's quite cool for a free game. I'm not complaining. That's really good. I say free. You've got to be on the members for Nintendo Online, but you know, most of us are, aren't we? So. Yeah, a good game. Really enjoyed it. I've seen lots of people seem to have the same opinion, seem really enjoying it. And for a Battle Royale game, it's really good. So, bye-bye Apex and bye-bye Fortnite. What do you think, Matt? You played a little bit of it, haven't you?
I played a little bit of it. I don't know. I'm not very good at Tetris. I think the furthest I've got is like 31.
Okay. I got 10 Tetrises, so like getting the full, get the full bar done. I got 10 of those in the first game last night. So I still only finished second. I was well disappointed with that. I was like, what?
I definitely want to play more of it. I mean, you know, it's nice to have.
There's also like a level up system as well, so I guess that's like keep you coming back to it and playing a bit more.
Except like it was pretty arbitrary, to be honest.
Yeah, there's not much to it.
But I believe the director mentioned that that there will be updates coming.
Yeah.
Which would be nice.
I didn't see. I think the actual like online setup itself, you can't choose like friends to battle against, as far as I'm aware. It was just random people. But I don't know if there's any different setups for that to be able to do just friends or something, but maybe it's something I can have a look into. But yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it. So
what else? What is next? Dead by Daylight.
Dead by
More like I'm dead because these frames suck. It looks ugly. I'm sorry.
We will be dead by daylight because this is taking so long.
I don't know. I'm not too fussed about it, but you know, it's another Switch game. I can't complain.
What is Dead by? I can't remember what it was. If I'm honest, I got so hyped by Tetris that I think I might have missed this. Nope, I ain't got a clue. You ain't got a clue. Should we just move on?
So, you could either play as the survivor or the hunter, basically. So, the hunter tries to kill down the survivor. Survivor tries to survive.
It's like a survival horror sort of game,
but
I guess,
with a multiplayer twist. So.
Oh. Okay. It sounds Left 4 Dead-y, kind of Left 4 Dead-like, in a way.
It really does, actually, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
God.
It was ages ago that game came out.
That's true.
Oh god.
What is
Deltarune? Deltarune.
Deltarune.
For free.
You're very excited about this.
Oh man, it's such a good game. Like Undertale and Deltarune are just fantastic games in general. I mean, it's only literally like a first episode, and it feels like a full game on its own. It's got a fantastic soundtrack again. It's probably the best part of both games is the soundtrack. But again, also a kind of a unique story. This Deltarune is an anagram of Undertale, just to sort of spoil it for you. And it's basically that is what it is. It's like the Undertale world, but turned over and upside its head. It's head kind of thing. It's complete own thing, but it uses some of the characters from Undertale as within Deltarune. It's very similar in the way battle mechanics work, but it's more of a you can control three characters rather than the one character, and you got to sort of defend slightly differently within your little. Battle box kind of thing, but yeah, it's still got the old battle system where you literally got to control a heart and defend away from things and use certain attacks at certain points to do different damages and things. But yeah, it's a very fun game and it's very interesting. And for free, you can pick it up and give it a go and see what you think as well. So there's gonna be future episodes which will not be free, but I've been advised that they're not gonna be very dear, so that's gonna be interesting. Yeah. So the trailer was interesting. It was very funny as well because it had lots of the dog from Undertale covering up with like the parts which were
spoilers,
which is basically just dogs just everywhere.
That's just what I love about Toby Fox's humor, to be honest.
It is brilliant. Yeah.
I still gotta go back and play Undertale. I've only played the first route on my old laptop, so I've had to start from the beginning. So
yeah, I picked up the Switch and I've not really played much of it because I've been playing other games, but I will be returning to it as well. But yeah, cool.
Good stuff.
I'm happy.
I'm happy too.
Cool.
Next one though, to Daemon X Machina, which of course is the Nintendo game no one really gives a toss about, but could potentially be a sleeper hit. Who knows? So they came out with a demo for it. And they will be asking for feedback soon enough.
Is it on the eShop now?
It is on the eShop now. So I think in due time they'll be sending out invites to a survey to try and improve the game. So it's sort of like a beta, basically.
Okay. It's more like an enhanced alpha in a way, but yeah, okay, yeah, beta alpha, yeah, cool.
Oh yeah, I guess an alpha would make more sense. Okay. Yeah, so I want to try it out.
If it's a demo available for free, we might give it a go. Yeah, why not?
And then Grid Autosport. It's a racing game. And that's it.
Yeah, it's a racing game. It didn't look that great, though, did it, to be honest?
Nah.
It was
Well, like, the
graphically.
stuff outside of the derby portions look quite okay. But then it hit
Yeah.
that bit. I was like, oh no. What is this? PowerPoint?
It didn't. Is it PowerPoint? PowerPoint racing. Wow. I mean, it's another racing game, but when you've got games like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which looks fantastic on the Switch, and then you get this, it's like,
I'm
you know what I mean?
admittedly though, it is a port of a more powerful console. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe
Yes.
looks better because it was better optimized for the Switch.
I think a few of the ports that I saw I weren't too impressed with from what I've seen so far anyway. So this was one of the first ones shown of like the three or four. So we'll see.
We'll
We'll
see.
see. Maybe we'll be surprised later on.
Another port that was actually quite surprising was Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. Now, this made quite a big splash when it first released, I believe, in 2017. I want to
Yeah.
say 2017. It was 2017.
It was 2017.
This is
Awards and things, isn't it?
more of a story-driven game, won a lot of rewards and a lot of good reception.
Yeah.
I thought Ninja Theory was acquired by Microsoft, though. Microsoft, yeah. I think
Microsoft.
so.
Microsoft, I think.
'Cause I,
Yeah, they have picked up, I
yeah.
think.
Okay.
Maybe this is the last game to be released before the pickup. I don't
Yeah,
know. Maybe
so
there's
the
something like that,
developers of
but.
Ninja Theory were picked up by Xbox. I think, yeah, their
Well,
parent
we say
their
that,
parent
but
organization is
X.
Xbox Game Studios, which of course
Yeah,
in
yeah.
turn is Microsoft.
We might see more of that in the future, though, with Xbox Live apparently coming to Switch and
So
millions and other devices.
potentially
So
Cuphead to Switch? Maybe.
it's not a bad shout. It's not
That's
a bad
actually
shout.
re
I'd love
realizable
to see
now.
that.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'm not bothered by Hellblade, but I realize that it is quite an impactful game.
Yeah, I
So it's
mean,
good to
it's
have.
good to have that sort of game there. Yeah, definitely. So.
Then we got a little sizzle reel of titles here. Mortal Kombat 11, Unravel 2, Assassin's Creed 3
Oh,
Remastered,
yeah.
as well as Final Fantasy 7, Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon, Everybody, and Final Fantasy 9.
Right. Mortal Kombat 11. That only just come out. Looks fantastic.
More
Can't really say anything
Kombat
on much
11
more,
hasn't come
really.
out yet.
Sorry?
Mortal Kombat 11 hasn't just come out.
I thought it just came out on
No,
Xbox. Maybe I'm wrong then. I thought.
it's coming out April 23rd.
Okay, April
So I
23rd.
believe
Okay.
that's coming
Maybe
out day and
I
date
didn't.
then on Switch compared to the other ones. I'm not too sure. No,
Okay.
it's coming out in Europe on May 10th for the Switch. So yeah, that's not too long of a wait. We're getting a Mortal
Unravel
Kombat
2.
game on a Nintendo system again.
Well, yeah. Well, hopefully we'll have blood this time. Who
Hopefully
knows?
not. I want it to be retro.
Probably not. Unravel 2, which is the EA published game, I believe. With the Unravel was basically this little critter who has made a wall. He used his wall as ways to solve puzzles and things. And now it's two player, and you've got two player puzzles and things like that. So, yeah, okay, another co-op game, couch co-op game, perfect for Switch, definitely. Now you've put Ass Creed 3 Remastered here.
Yes, I couldn't be
You mean
bothered to write the ass
Creed?
in.
I think you have actually hit spot on, if I'm
Pretty
honest.
much.
So,
Like,
I didn't like the look of.
Why the hell did they choose this footage? It was a slideshow. Like, again, you know, I'm a firm believer of, like, you know, they don't mean everything. You know, frames don't mean everything, but, like, I mean, Christ. That was not pretty to look at.
I don't mind this game coming to the Switch because there's lots of people that like Assassin's Creed 3, that there's also lots of people who don't like it. But if we get Black Flag remastered on the Switch, I'll be more happy.
Potentially.
So, we'll see.
Could happen.
But this has got boats and bits in this one as well, so. Which was the best part of Black Flag.
Oh, yeah.
Final Fantasy VII, one of the best games ever made, so great that that's now got a release date. I think it's the end of March.
I think late March, yeah. I think the same date as Yoshi. Which should be good.
Okay. That's not buying Yoshi then.
Let me see.
Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon is just Mystery Dungeon from Pokemon.
Well, with a Chocobo. I believe Mystery Dungeon is from, or at least the Mystery Dungeon form is from Etrian Odyssey, maybe? I don't know. I know that, like, it didn't start with Pokemon, I believe. Let me check.
They did lots of Pokemon ones.
Yeah, I know, like, it was definitely the Pokemon was the one that properly did it. Let me see.
If you can get Cactar as a character in your Mystery Dungeon in your party or something, that's pretty cool. Otherwise, I've not no interest whatsoever.
So I don't think it started with Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. I think it started with Dragon Quest Mystery Dungeon, actually.
Yeah. Dragon Quest Mystery Dungeon. Okay, I didn't know that. Was
at least like Mystery Dungeon relating to Dragon Quest series.
Yeah, yeah. So there's quite a few.
But yeah, you know, it's Mystery Dungeon. If you played Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, it's pretty much that.
Yeah. There's not a lot to them games, is there? To be fair, it's just lots of levels in a building and trying to find the stairs, basically. That's pretty much the game. Final Fantasy IX, I'm happy it's come to the Switch. I've not played it before, so I'll definitely be picking that one up.
Well, that's out now, so.
That's out now, yeah, literally, like, after the Direct, so that was pretty cool.
The only one I'm really keen on here is Final Fantasy VII. I've been meaning to get around that for a very long while, so I'm happy it's coming to Switch.
Yeah. It's very dated now, VII, but it is still fantastic.
Then the next game, one of my other highlights, a new Platinum Games game, Astral Chain.
Yes.
I mean, it's Platinum. New Platinum game. Launching this year. Launching end of August.
Knuckles Chaotix. But now.
What?
It was Knuckles Chaotix, but now.
If anything, it was Xenoblade Chronicles X, the JRPG. Because judging by a lot of reactions, it seemed that a fair amount.
Knuckles Chaotix, the game, you had like a chain which you were with two people the whole time.
Oh, that's right.
And you've got a chain with two people attacking, and that's. It looks like it's going to be a co-op game with a chain involved.
It could be a co-op game.
So,
maybe.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I can really gather so far. But.
Oh, it's pretty much a stand from JoJo's, which I'm fine either way. Anyway.
Yeah.
It looks great.
But it's Knuckles Chaotix.
You can recycle. It's the best. No.
Talking of recycling.
And this time it's better for the environment because it looks great. The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. The original Game Boy title is getting a full HD and newly stylized remake for the Nintendo Switch. Looks lovely. Looks very wholesome.
You
don't seem too sure on it.
I've never played the original. And I've never been big on 2D Zelda games anyway.
Really?
And they look like little toys. Like
that's
running
what I
around
love about it though.
Oh. I appreciate like the like effects and like the like slashing of the sword and the way the grass cut. It looked quite cool, but it just doesn't look like a Zelda game to me. You know what I mean?
I do get what you mean, but personally, I'm glad that they're trying something new in terms of art style.
Yes, certainly.
But I can see where you're coming from.
It looks a little bit like the original game, the original Zelda game. But when Hyrule Warriors came out originally, they had a tech demo, which involved that, and it was very similar to what Link's Awakening appears to be, kind of thing. I think like it's been developed from that maybe, but yeah, it's unique certainly. I'm sure there's lots of people who are happy about it because it's a Zelda game. But like I said on Twitter earlier today, it doesn't look like it's for me, but I've still got Breath of the Wild to play, so I can't really complain too much, to be honest. You know, it still looks fun, but I don't think it's for me.
Oh. I don't know. I liked it. I didn't really like the original, but, you know, I really liked Link Between Worlds on 3DS, so I'm keen for Link's Awakening.
Yeah. Okay. I'll wait to see more until I decide on it, I think. But yeah. Okay. Okay.
That's good. And that was it.
That was wrapped up to the direct.
Oh, the right. So things that you felt missing. You feel anything in particular was missing that needed to be here? Or were you surprised to see some stuff not here?
Metroid Prime was supposed to be here, but it got delayed beforehand.
Yeah, that was like that was a theory, wasn't it? That we would be getting January Direct if it wasn't for Prime 4's.
That was the rumors. But whether that's
true, I was feeling Metroid Prime Trilogy though would be coming.
It's right on the Wii.
Yeah, but we could bring it to the Switch.
But why?
So we could get it on the Switch.
But we got it on the Wii and the Wii U.
So would you not like Advance Wars on the Switch?
Well, yeah, because that's been out for 10, 12 years. Yeah, whereas this
but we could just get a Game Boy Advance and play.
Metroid Prime Trilogy has been out every time since the GameCube. So I don't...
You know, yes GameCube, and no, Wii, because Metroid Prime 3... Wasn't Metroid Prime 3 originally on Wii?
3 was on the Wii. 3
was
fair.
On the Wii.
Yeah.
That Ryan. Then you got a trilogy for that. Wii U. I don't think there's not a proper HD collection though, right?
No, but you can download from.
Exactly. I rest my
case. You know
what
they did.
Okay, did you like Twilight Princess HD?
It's not my favourite Zelda game, but yeah, it's quite fun.
But why not just play the original? Right? Because we can play that. We didn't need the HD remake. But
no,
you're defending that. I think someone's just a bit salty against Metroid.
I like Wind Waker, but that was like at least two generations that we've not had that. Whereas Metroid Prime Trilogy, we've had literally every generation for the last 3-4 generations. I just don't get it. Why can't we have a
Jack, gotta keep it real. That logic is not found.
And Metroid Prime in general has never really sold very well. So
that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. They'd have to do a lot to it to up it up to
that's fair.
The Switch.
That's fair, okay.
It's not games you can just flick the Switch as HD straight away.
I feel like it could be like outsourced, maybe. Maybe that was what Retro was working on for all these years.
No, they're working on Bayonetta 3, Platinum R as well. I forgot about that. That was mentioned earlier.
What?
Wasn't mentioned earlier. Platinum Games are working on Bayonetta 3. It was mentioned in the direct, but there's no.
Oh, did I mention Platinum? I should have mentioned Retro.
Retro, sorry, I got confused there. But I don't see why that we need to have the trilogy again. I just don't understand it.
Because on the Switch.
Why?
Why not? You're Final American 8 Deluxe being on the
when
Switch.
When you're up like a updated Metroid Fusion or Zero Mission before.
Zero Mission.
They haven't been out.
Then no. 10 years. Wait. So would you be fine with Zero Mission being on Switch?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, but we could just. It's the same argument. Game Boy Advance, right? I'd say that could sort. Yeah, so you could play that on the original DS, same generation as the Wii. And then it was also on the Wii U.
Was it?
Yeah. They had Game Boy games.
Oh, I can't download that because they shut the shop. God damn it.
No, the Wii U, man.
I know. They shut the shop, didn't they, on the Wii. So.
Yeah, on the Wii, not the Wii U.
Okay, haven't they? Yeah, sorry. That's right. Cool. I'll open that in a minute.
Yeah, I don't know. Why am I getting so peeved about this? I'm not even a Metroid fan.
I know. I'm like, what's going on?
I just consider myself a logician. And I'm not finding the logic here in your argument. It's not
valid.
You can
play it on the Wii U. You can play it on the Wii.
But
you can play it on the GameCube.
I don't want to dig out my Wii U. And I can't take my Wii U wherever I want on the go with my Nintendo Switch.
But why would you want to play this game on the go?
Why would you want to play any game on the go, Jack? Because it's
first-person shooters don't work on the go.
You never know. But it's not like...
They don't. Really don't.
Maybe. You never know. That's what I'm saying. Anyways. Yeah, I don't know. Why are we arguing about this? It's a silly
I don't know.
Topic.
Let's just carry on. What are we talking about now?
We're talking about... Pokemon, why not? I don't think... I always thought there would be a chance, but, you know, I wasn't expecting it, so I'm not disappointed that it wasn't here.
It's coming soon.
It'll come soon. I'm thinking a February announcement. I think February will be the right time, I feel.
It's February now.
Yeah.
Could be much later in the year, say E3.
Potentially. I just feel like with a new generation, they normally do it around this time, right?
When's the next big Pokemon tournament? That's the big question.
Well, that's summer, but like they wouldn't announce it there. That's too late. Because Gen 6, that was January of this year. And then for Sun and Moon, that was for February of this year, although we didn't get gameplay until May of 2016.
There you go, then we'll wait for May then.
May, potentially. May could work. I don't know. I'd say gameplay at the latest would be May. But I feel right now would be the time for at least the initial tease. You know, like, oh, these are the titles. There we go.
All the titles.
Pretty much. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking, really.
Luigi's Mansion 3, still to come.
I was kind of surprised we didn't see that, to be honest, but...
Nothing at all.
Could be an E3.
Animal Crossing, nothing.
Yeah. Pouring one out.
So there's three games already announced that we haven't seen anything for.
Yeah, but... so like,
Metroid Prime got cancelled.
That's the thing. If anything, this direct just proves how strong the lineup is for 2019.
There was 25 plus games that were announced for the Switch yesterday. Mm. So that was pretty cool.
And
they've still got others. They're not announced in this as well.
We got the game that would kill Apex Legends of Fortnite. We got more Fire Emblem info. We got Mario Maker 2. Got new Zelda coming this year. My only great disappointment was the Joker tease.
That felt even better as well.
Pardon?
I did read that the guys who made Wonderful 101 want to bring it to Switch.
They do.
So that's another Wii U port coming.
Hopefully. That'd be nice.
And that would definitely kill off the Wii U, which is probably already dead by now because Mario Maker is now dead.
Yeah, that was it for our direct talk. 11v1, as always, in true NPS fashion.
Yep.
Yeah, so with that, let's head into our next section. This is the What Have We Been Playing section, although this time it's What Have I Been Playing. So, this is a bit awkward, but we were recording the episode last night, and Jack got too tired to continue, which, to be honest, is fair. He had work in the morning. It was nearing 11 o'clock in the evening, or night, rather. So I was like, yeah, I want to try and get this out as soon as possible. And plus, I've never done a podcast by myself, unlike Jack. So I was like, you know, I'll give it a go. I'll use this opportunity. I'm being selfish. I'm sorry. But of course, the main bit was out of the way, which was direct, which is fine. And I presume Jack has been talking about the games he's been playing on the last episode as well, which I can't remember. I think that was a couple of weeks ago. Let me have a quick check. Yeah, about 2 to 3 weeks ago. Yeah, so that was with Jack himself, as well as Patrick, who also co-ran the Southampton Game Fest. They both did last year in October. So yeah, this is the What Have We Been Playing section. Again, what have I been playing? So apologies for the weirdness of the situation. Of course, this isn't the first time this has happened, but I'll try my best. my throat's all better because it was a bit weird last night, so hopefully this section will be a bit better than the last section. So for the games Jack has been playing, he's been playing Kingdom Hearts 3, Puzzle Bobble 2, Wargroove, and Football Manager 19. I've also been playing Kingdom Hearts 3, and let's dive into that. Yeah, not much Nintendo, really. Of course, there's been Smash Brothers. Final Plant recently came out. A really fun character, although I haven't played the All-Star mode yet, because I want to be a bit safe of that supposed glitch that's going around. Yeah, what else? Nothing really. I'm trying to think of the last time I was on, like, the show. Yeah, it was episode 60, The Case of Sniffles. God, that's been a long while. We have not kept our promise of, like, bi-weekly ever since, like, the first year of the show. Oh, man, what? I can't remember what I picked for that. Let me get... Just in case. That Smash wasn't even out yet. That's how long ago it was. Not that one. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're just getting a bit of a mellow, less hectic one. So let me know what you think of me doing solo podcasts. Maybe, I don't know. I think Jack does it quite well, to be honest. Yeah, so like, on the last one, I was talking about Ace Attorney and Sushi Striker. I haven't really played any other Switch game apart from Smash since I got it. I think I've almost at 200 hours, maybe. I'm not too sure. But, I mean, it's Smash. I can't say much more about it. let's move on. So, Kingdom Hearts 3. It's still weird that the game is actually out, you know, after all these years. And it's weird. It's, I would consider myself a Kingdom Hearts fan now. I was always interested in the series, but it was only until, last summer I actually started playing the games, with the 1.5 and 2.5 collection. So I played through Kingdom Hearts 1, 2, Birth by Sleep, and then I watched the cutscenes for 3, 5, 8 days over 2, and recoded. And then I didn't bother at all with Chain of Memories, so I just watched cutscenes of that on YouTube. So the only other one I played since last time I've been on is Birth by Sleep. I was going to play this over Christmas, but somebody forgot his PS4 to bring it back home with him over Christmas, so I couldn't even play it, which was very annoying, but alas. Birth by Sleep's weird. So, story-wise, it's not actually that... it's still stupid, because, it's Kingdom Hearts, but the actual story isn't, like, that convoluted, unlike many of the other games. But there's three main characters. You've got Ventus, Aqua, and Terra, and you sort of do a campaign with each of them. And Ventus is, like, the middle ground. Terra's more focused on, like, physical attacks, and Aqua's more focused on magic attacks. But the battle system is, you don't get a command menu like you do in the mainline games. You don't get to go to separate menus like one for attack, one for magic, one for items, and so on. All of your actions are determined in a deck that you can determine by yourself. So you could put out your own custom deck, and you use them. I know I'm not explaining this very well, but basically, you could use a command from your command list. And you have to wait for it recharge before you use it again. And as you progress through the game, your command deck gets bigger, which allows you to use more commands, up to a maximum of 8 slots. So when you're starting out, it's very slow-paced. You can only use 3 commands at a time, as well as your Keyblade. But you could transform into different styles, which allow you to be more powerful, and will allow you to dish out different finishing moves depending on the style you have. So yeah, it could be satisfying, but playing on the PS4, I don't know, just something felt a bit weird about the controls, a bit clunky. Like targeting for one was a bit of a pain in Birth by Sleep, and just like getting around trying to block, it was kind of a pain really. I still played it. Played through all chapters and the epilogue section, which you unlock by completing all 3 campaigns and getting all the Xehanort reports. The other thing as well is with the separate campaigns, it was a bit of a grind because they're all pretty much the same. You're always going to the same Disney worlds, and all don't last all that long, like not even an hour, like only 40 minutes each. So, if you're only going to play one campaign, then yeah, it's not a very long game. I think I beat Ventus in like about 12 hours, but I managed to beat the other two in much less time because I think I had a better understanding of the game's mechanics and so on. Yeah, Birth by Sleep is weird, but I'm glad I played it because I feel with Kingdom Hearts 3, the experience is like a bit more enhanced once you know Kingdom Hearts as a whole, once you connect with the characters. So that's what I wanted to do. Because I knew Birth by Sleep characters would have something, I wanted to at least try and get their characters. So like, when stuff happens, it hits. Because if Kingdom Hearts 3 is your first Kingdom Hearts game, you would get pretty much nothing out of this. There'll be no emotional attachment to any of the characters. Which, is a plus and a minus. The minus, you have to play through all the games again. Not again, but you just have to play through all the games. Which is especially troublesome if you're on the Xbox, because you don't have access to the other Kingdom Hearts games. But if you have a PlayStation, all of them are there. Pretty much everything you need to know. But on the plus side, it's more like of a big payoff for fans of the series, and I think that's the bigger focus. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, really. There's nothing too problematic with it being like, okay, a newcomer can't get into this, but at the same time, it's like, well, it's kind of the payoff, for people that have been around the series for long enough. That's a big breath there. But with Kingdom Hearts 3, I don't want to delve into too much, because I think the story is quite a big focal point, which is annoying because Kingdom Hearts 3 story is actually kind of simple this time, which is a bit disappointing. Now, that may seem a bit weird, because who wouldn't want an easy to understand story? But, and it does make more sense, where, like, this is supposed to be the conclusion of the current saga. You don't want to add too many new elements or new characters, which is fine. But I just felt like it was just sloppily told. I think I really want to do a review of this. Maybe a review of the game and then a separate review of the story. But I feel like a bit of it was a bit sloppy. I don't know. I think it could definitely been better done. Gameplay-wise, though, Kingdom Hearts 3 is definitely the best in the series. It's definitely most fluent, and I think probably the most fun. So I've seen a fair amount of people saying, oh yeah, it is repetitive, and like, that's fine, but that's kind of comes with the genre. It is kind of a hack-and-slash-esque game. But I feel like it is definitely like more unique than other Kingdom Hearts games, because I just feel like there's a lot more stuff you could do in battles. I feel like I'll get into comparisons in a little bit. I'll talk about 3 some more. So you could do summons, so you summon various Disney characters. All are kind of fun. Personally, I really like the aerial one. We have to time your jumps just right. And to jump out of the water, creating like all these geysers. And then the Simba's one is definitely like the most useful. I feel like that's a bit OP. But whatever, I think they're all unique enough to sustain getting their own summons. And that's really cool for me. What else? Of course, you've got magic. And if you use them enough, then you could get a command that will allow you to use grand magic. Which is the magic just above your current level. So, for example, if you had the fire spell and you use that in a sort of a combo, if you do that long enough, you may get the command to use fire. And then if you have fire, you could then go to fire aggro. And then if you use fire aggro, that's it, then you'll be able to use fireza as that one special command, and the Zah commands, the grand magic commands, are really, really powerful, and it's just like a spectacle to behold once you unleash them. Then we've also got attraction rides, which are based on Disney rides. Oh, actually, no, one quick thing about the magic, quickly. I would have appreciated it if they had more support commands. So, like, in previous Kingdom Hearts games, you had stuff like Magnora, which would bring enemies close together, or the reflect spells, which I guess isn't too missed because you just use block, I believe. But yeah, you know, and then Buffer Sleep, you had some other ones like stop commands or slow. And I think that would have been really cool to have in New Kingdom Hearts. Would definitely make more special, but whatever. Then you got the attraction flows, which are based on Disney rides. Splash Run is the most fun, because basically you just, like, create your own course. Basically, so it's like you go around jumping up and down, creating your own ride. And then at the end, you ride down that the rivers you created. And then it ends with a big splash, and it's, I don't know, I find it really fun to use, even if I don't get a lot of hits. All of them are, like, really powerful, which is a bit annoying considering it's kind of easy to get them. So all you have to do is that, like, it is by luck, and all you have to do is hit the enemy with a green ring around them. So once you do that, you'll get access to the attraction flow. There you go. Though it's a bit too easy to gain it. I would have preferred it maybe if, you had to get a certain number of enemies, with green circles around them. I thought that may have been a better way of doing it. But still though, it's unique enough. And again, the thing about these special commands is that if you don't want to use them, you don't have to. That's the thing. So at least you have the option to like not use attraction flows at all if you want. I don't think there's an option to turn them off altogether, which I guess would have been nice. But, you know, whatever. And the last one, the last big change to the combat is Keyblade transformation. So after you hit and bash enemies long enough to build up a combo of sorts, you can transform your Keyblade into a variety of weapons. Let's take the Toy Story Keyblade, favorite deputy. So after you hit people long enough, you could transform that into a hammer. If you hit it long enough with a hammer, that would transform into a drill punch. So yeah, you know, again, you know, you are just like hitting X again. You know, it can be quite repetitive, but again, that comes with genre. But I find this just like be a very good way to like mix up the formula. Because in Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, it was always the Keyblade. Whereas now you have a bit more variety, and they really do feel different to use. For everyone, to be honest, you know, it's like one of the early Keyblades you get, which is the Starlight, I believe, you can transform them into arrow guns, and so you just shoot around projectiles to nearby opponents, and magic can behave differently depending on the transformation you have. So with the arrow guns, the spells actually fire out from your guns, which is a neat touch. And if you have like a sort of melee weapon like the hammer or claws, you sort of create a shield around you. So it's really nice that they thought about how magic would be affected in each one. Probably my favourite would probably be the Monsters, Inc. Claws and then the yo-yo. Very fun to use. As well as the Pirates of the Caribbean one as well. Thankfully, you could this time, you could equip up to 3 Keyblades at a single time. So, in addition to getting bonuses to your stats from each of the Keyblades, you just switch styles on the fly, which is very good. They don't affect your stats in mid-combat, so, you know, feel free to just, like, if you only have one Keyblade you like, that's very heavy on strength, but you want to also bump up your magic, you could only use that strength Keyblade. But as long as you equip 2 other magic focused Keyblades, then you'll be able to get the full effect of that. As for the worlds this time, I was pleased but also a bit disheartened, because I feel like with the Disney worlds, Disney worlds are good. Pirates of the Caribbean is probably my favourite, to be honest. You could just go around, explore different islands. It's very fun. Monsters Inc. was also very good. I just like the story in that. I'm very nostalgic for Monsters Inc. The worst one out of the main worlds would probably have to be the Frozen World. I felt that was the most derivative and probably the most boring. And I think it went on for too long. But even then, I felt like each of the Disney worlds has something unique about them. Definitely, of course, in terms of environment. For example, Olympus. You know, before, Olympus was just restricted to Colosseum. Especially in... it was fleshed out a bit more in Kingdom Hearts 2, where you could go through the underworld. But in Kingdom Hearts 3, you get to explore the town, you get to explore the mountains, and you get to explore the land of the gods. I haven't watched Olympus, so... Not Olympus, I haven't watched Hercules, but... I think that's what the gist of it is. I just feel the worlds are just so much more dynamic. Their geography is like a lot more open, but not too open that becomes a pain. I thought that was one thing that I didn't like about the Toy Story world, if anything, which is still a great world, definitely one of the higher ups in the game. I am trying to wrap up because I have to go to uni in half an hour. Kingdom Hearts is very, very fun. I'm sorry for trying to explain. This is the thing I worry about me doing this. It's like, I feel like this is all kind of white noise at the moment. Because you must have heard these opinions all the time. I don't think I'm giving too much of a good opinion about it. I'm just more explaining it. Which I don't think this section is really for. I think it's more for explaining the thoughts. I think I did it okay. But, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I'm weird. Anyway, Kingdom Hearts 3, definitely good. I have seen a lot of complaints about it. I think gameplay-wise, you know, take it or leave it. I think because of Kingdom Hearts 3's story, I think Kingdom Hearts 2 is definitely more definitive of the Kingdom Hearts experience. I don't know, I felt like 2 had more mystery, and like as a result, it had more like payoff. You know, I felt 2 just had a better structured story overall. And I felt Sora had a better like reason to go to Disney Worlds, I feel. And especially just to return to them. But with Kingdom Hearts 3, Kingdom Hearts 3 is the best in the series, but because of the storytelling, I could see why a lot of people have problems with it, which is fine. Again, I shouldn't have to wait until the epilogue in Secret Movie to be really excited about it, because of course it's ended, you know. Of course there were some really exciting moments within Kingdom Hearts 3, some really funny moments as well, but just for me, I don't think it was as good as a payoff as it could have been for the whole series. So that was after my exam, so that was like a little bit of a treat to myself for the hell that I had to go through. And then the other one was Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight. As fellow listeners should know, if you've been with us for long enough, I'm a big Persona 5 fan. I love it. I think it's one of the best games of all time. Or at least in my opinion. And of course, it's music. Music is also one of the best in the industry for me. So of course, a rhythm game revolving around the music of Persona 5 was of course right up my alley. I do like a good rhythm game, like Rhythm Heaven, for example. Rhythm Paradise, rather, over here in the UK. Dancing in Starlight, it's fun. I think admittedly they could have done more to justify the £40 price tag. If checked now, it still is over £40 just because it's so rare. I think the base game is cheaper, which is not how it should be, to be honest. Persona 5 Standard Edition is £38 on Amazon. And then Dancing Starlight is £45. So not by too much. But I mean, still, spill a bit of my drink here. It is weird. Of course, Persona 5 is a better game. You should probably get one or the other. Definitely get Persona 5. But Dancing Starlight, it's a good rhythm game. I have to admit, it's very addicting. So for those that don't know, you have to hit notes as they come around to the edge of the screen by hitting the face buttons. That's three of the D-pad buttons and three of the shape buttons. So I believe the ones used are X, circle, and triangle. Then you've also got scratches, which are these big circles that come in. You don't have to hit them, but they're there just for bonus. Which is nice to have, and then there's also hold down notes and then union notes, which are like you do two at the same time. Standard rhythm game fare, but it's just satisfying, and there's a certain satisfying feeling to it. I think you definitely need to play Persona 5 first, though, because for one, you know, the music, I feel like, for me at least, I like listening to new remixes and like music I've already heard it before, so by playing the first Persona 5, it's like just much cooler for me personally. And the other thing is the social links. So there's no story here, but there are social links where the various characters of the Phantom Thieves interact with one another, and just conversations. So of course, there's nothing too groundbreaking, but you could get a bit of an insight to some characters, and it could just be a good time. You know, I love the cast of Persona 5, so it's a real treat just to see how they all interact with each other in this different parallel dancing world, so to speak. I definitely want to do a review of this one as well. I may stream it eventually, just because it is just really addictive to try and get as high of a score as you can and trying to get a good rating for it and try to get all the missions done to unlock all the social links. There is a bit of depth though, because you can have modifiers to change how you play. So, for example, there are support modifiers which will allow you to not break a combo at all. But that, I mean, in the game, each note you hit, you could either get a perfect, a great, a good, or a miss. And so the only way to keep up combos is by hitting notes with a perfect or great rating. A good rating will break the combo completely, and will greatly affect your score, especially if you're very high up in the combo. But if you have that support modifier on, then that combo will not break. Though at the expense of your score declining by a certain percentage. So I think that one is like -3%, for example. There's other ones where the combo won't miss, the combo won't break. The combo won't break if you miss at all. All the other support modifiers as well. So if you're finding it too tough, you could put those on. But if you're seeking a challenge, there are also challenge modifiers. So for example, the game will end if you get a single miss. You can only get perfect ratings. You do have to perform scratches to keep up the combo, because in normal gameplay you don't have to. There's another one which is like +40% of your score, but you can't see the notes at all, which is a bit stupid, but whatever. You could do what you want with that. So yeah, I don't know. I really like that dynamic of the gameplay. There's a lot of modifiers there for your pleasure, really. So take it how you would like to, how you want your experience. I wish there were a bit more songs though, and unfortunately, a good chunk are locked away behind DLC. I don't know. I think or I do realize this was made in tandem with Persona 3 Dancing in Moonlight, which is based on the Persona 3 game. Which is nice to have, but I wish they just went full out on one of those games. Personally, because I think like having only 25 tracks isn't enough for a 40 quid game. Personally, I wish there was a bit more. But yeah, I definitely want to go back to it, try and get more higher ratings. Maybe play on stream. For games I want to be playing, I've got Spider-Man Over Christmas. I've been waiting until after exams and after Kingdom Hearts 3 to properly dive into it. I did play a little bit, I think about an hour or two, just about the week before my exams, and it's pretty good. I did enjoy it. I want to see how much further it could go. Hopefully by a good margin. And then what else? Wargroove is another one. I've been waiting for this one for quite a long time. Definitely one of the indies I've kept my eye out for a long time. Played at EGX last year. Very good. And I've only heard good things about Wargroove. That's the thing. So, yeah. Jack often jokes about Fire Emblem sucking, which is, like, not true. But I have to admit, Wargroove does look very good. Will definitely keep my strategy Fire Emblem need satisfied until Fire Emblem Three Houses. Yes, that's it, really. Apologies for the long talk. How long are we? Oh dear, oh dear. Yeah, Jack was right to go to bed yesterday. We'd be here for about an hour. Admittedly, I've been talking along too much. Too much? That was weird. Anyway, that ends it for this section, so let's move on to our final section. So this is the final section of the podcast, with myself and only myself. This time though, of course, there was the direct that happened, and with that there has been a chunk of opinions coming in to us. Let me get a a little bit here. Because there's a lot of, like, stuff here. Okay. So, the first one is from our Facebook and from Martin Thompson. He says, Link's Awakening looks amazing. I'm looking forward to see what new things they will bring to the game and how the game plans to take advantage of the Switch's hardware. Mario Maker 2 looks great, but it's nothing we haven't played before. I hope they add lots of new stuff. I really don't want it to be too similar to the first Mario Maker. That's fair. Link's Awakening definitely looks really cool. Again, as I mentioned in the show, I'm really keen to try this out. Because I've never told you, and I really wanted to play this for a long time. So, I can't wait. As for Mario Maker 2, I feel there is definitely going to be big changes coming. I don't know. It's, I think there will be co-op, whether it's just tricking stages or, actual in-game two-player. Who knows? I think, personally, I would hope they restrict it to just two-player. I feel four-player may be a bit too hectic. Or at least, you could have the option to, limit how many players can actually be in this level. I think that'd be really cool. So for example, if it's only a single player only level, you could just sing it similar to one player only. I think that'd be a cool way of doing it. Because of course, if you have it all four player, it really wouldn't be designed for four players in mind, unlike the main Mario games. For me though, there seems to be a lot of new stuff. I think we touched upon this during our direct section as well. For example, the brand new 3D world style. Which is really surprising. I think a lot of people were expecting, like, Mario Land or something. I was not expecting Super Mario 3D World at all. But, of course, I'm a fan of that game. I'm looking forward to it coming in. And I'm curious to see how those mechanics look in the older styles as well. I wouldn't mind some older styles as well, though. That would be kind of cool to have. Be kind of weird of what to think though. But yeah, you know, you got the snake blocks, you got the angry sun, you got slopes, which is, you know, it's the little things, you know. It's the little things that keep everything together, to be honest. But yeah, thank you, Martin Thompson, for your comments. Well, just the one. Let's see, what else do we have here? Somebody.crob at Robert House 1985 says, overall, a great direct, lots of info, few surprises and dates for things. Not a great deal for me personally, but still a great direct. Again, that's another fair comment. Again, you know, it's not going to be for everyone, and I'm glad there are, like, decent-minded folk like Zombie Duck Rob here, who seem to agree. I'm trying to see what other thoughts. Okay. Blaze Knight at Blaze Knight 0923. I was expecting 420 there. I'm personally very excited for several games. I think this is the best direct yet for me. For me personally, Mario Maker 2, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, Fire Emblem Three Houses, the new one from Platinum Games, Link's Awakening, and so much more. My wallet feels empty already. Yeah, you know, again, there were a very good amount of games. Me being stupid, I didn't realise that because I was still salty about Joker gameplay getting shafted. But of course, as like, time as my mind has gone on, I think that was actually a very, very good direct. And I believe in Japan they had an 82%, over 82% of the audience rated the direct from good to very good, so that's a good reception there. Stephen Charles at Highest Definition says, thought it was very good, can't wait to play Link's Awakening and Mario Maker 2. Nintendo are really playing to their strengths lately. I agree. 2019 is seeming like such a big year for them, especially in comparison to 2018. 2018 did have Smash Bros. Ultimate, but I feel like that was the only... I know there was Pokemon. I know there was Pokemon Let's Go, but Let's Go, to me, wasn't as ambitious as I thought it could have been. I think it played it a bit safe, unlike Ultimate, you know, which may sound stupid, but, you know, Ultimate tried to get every character back, had 100 free stages, so on and so forth. So yeah, Let's Go sounded, was a bit sour to me, and I feel like other titles, there are good titles in 2018, like Mario Tennis Aces. Octopath Traveler as well, that's another one, although I didn't play that personally. You know, like, 2018 was still a good year for the Switch. I'm like, even the worst of the Switch's year is still going to be better than any of the Wii U's years, I feel. But yeah, it seemed like 2018 was kind of like a bit more mellow apart from Smash, but like this time, it's kind of like a sequel to 2017. I think it's going to be a worthy sequel of sorts to Switch's first year. You know, I mean, we're still getting Gen 8, we're still getting Luigi's Mansion 3, we're still getting Animal Crossing, we're still getting Smash DLC, which has to be talked about. Yeah, so what's it? So it's like Mario Maker 2 in June, which is very soon. Fire Emblem in July. Astral Chains in August. In the last 4 months, we have Luigi's Mansion 3. Pokemon, presumably Gen 8. Animal Crossing, and then Zelda. So they could easily fill out the last 4 months. But, like, that's like, yeah, that's like, that's 7 months in a row with a big title, presuming that the last four have one unique game each. We still haven't arrived at E3. There could still be big surprises at E3. Last year, of course, it was heavily focused on Smash, but we did get the announcement of Super Mario Party there as well, so there could always be a little bit extra there. What else? Yes, we've got Yoshi's Woolly World, not Woolly World, Crafted World, coming in March, which I think is a decent way to start off the technically the Switch's third year, because of course it wasn't until March it came out. I'm not sure about April or May yet though, but personally, Joker coming in April is fun enough for me, in all honesty, you know. And we can still be getting ports and stuff during that time as well. Yeah, it's, I can't really complain too much about this year. This year is looking like it's really good, and we've still got a lot of surprises left to go. I'm trying to prepare for uni. I've got 50 minutes until I've got to head off, so I'm a bit hectic right now. I believe that was all it was for the listener comments, so thank you very much for those that sent in their thoughts to us. Now to shout-outs, Yakaz, said, oh, that's right, so his, so as I briefly mentioned before, and of course on the last episode of Nintendo System, he was a very important part in Southampton Game Fest, which was last October. That went down very well. But now that the same duo, Jack and Patrick, are helping with P1G, which is the city's first modern gaming expo, in Portsmouth. So that is P1 Guildhall, on Twitter. So if you're very interested, please follow that. It's, Jack and Patrick are lending out a hand with that, so please do consider following them if you want to keep up to date with stuff they're doing. Let me see. And of course, like Southampton Game Fest, they're partnering with that as well. Let me see. As well as Jack is also saying thank you to those that sent messages to us on Twitter and on Facebook. Sorry if we missed any. But yeah. As for me, shout-outs to those that participated in my competition for the Smash Bros. Ultimate giveaway. It was only the DLC, but of course it was to celebrate Joker making it into Smash. So thank you to everyone that took part in that competition, and I gained a lot of new followers as well, which is very rare for me. Before the competition, I was only like about just a little bit below 350, but by the end, I had grown to 300 more, which is insane growth. So yeah, it is a bit of an ego enhancer, I guess you could say, which is not a good word to use, but nevertheless, I'm very happy to all those that have decided to stick around and follow me after the competition ended. And I hope you all enjoy this podcast if you're new here. Or if you don't even know who I am, that's fine too. I wish I didn't either. So what else? There's been a lot of YouTubers that don't want to give a shout out to. Let me just try and find who I'm. No, I'll probably follow them on Twitter, to be honest. Apologies for the wait here. I am like trying my best to try and get ready for uni, so hopefully it won't take too long. Let me see. Following. Let me see. Expand Song is a weird one. That this is a campaign, a little campaign to try and get the music of Smash Bros. Ultimate to be expanded, because some have been cut. And Expand Song, at Expand Song on Twitter, is trying to get this noticed. Hopefully it comes to fruition, because of course I do love the music featuring Smash Ultimate, and I do think it is a bit annoying that we don't get the full versions on there, which would be nice to have, of course. So if you're curious, you can follow them on Twitter at Expansong. That'd be very good to have. As for another one, Thomas Game Docs on YouTube. He does very nice little videos on the development histories of various games. And all of them can be quite interesting. Let me see what ones. So his recent one was on Nintendogs. There's also ones on ARMS, Brain Training, Splatoon, Super Mario Kart, Miis, and the one that introduced me to him was Professor Layton. That was the one featured on Game Maker's Toolkit, and that helped me to get to know his channel. So, he's a great dude. I really like his videos. And so if you're curious about different, how different video games came to be, then that is definitely a good YouTube channel to check out. As for personal ones, shout, of course, to Nintendo Voice. Unfortunately, they had their last episode recently. 160, can you believe it? We'll never get that high. I believe it was 160. Yeah, so they're good friends of ours. So that's Lewis, Harrison, and Colin. All of them are good chums. Good chums of ours. They've been on our show multiple times, including the one where we're just like, okay, fuck it, we're bringing everybody on. Why not? And of course, we've had some fun on their show as well. So yeah, so it might have ended, but they are still a great bunch of people. So even if they're not doing podcasts anymore, I still urge you to follow the team. Because they are generally very nice people. And I think they are definitely one of the strongest Nintendo-themed podcasts out there. So let me see. So the team. So Lewis is at Luvsion on Twitter. Luvsion. Harrison is at H. Milfeld. HMILFELD. And Colin is at Helion Bard. Helion. HYLIANBARD. If you're curious to follow those lovely folk out. I believe that's it for this episode. I have to go in like 5 minutes. This is very hasty. Again, you know, forgive me for being selfish, Jack, and trying to finish this episode off without you. I'm sorry. Sorry for going on too long during the what I've been playing section. You made the right call to go and get some sleep yesterday. With that, though, as I'm tying my shoelaces to go to uni, that will do it for episode 63 of the Nintendo Podcast System. My choice of music would probably have to be... actually, I'll do that in a little bit. I'll do a bit of housekeeping first. You can find the podcast social-wise on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Nintendo Podcast System or N Podcast System. They couldn't allow us to do more than so many characters, or in other words, they'll get angry with us. So that's why it's N Podcast System, not Nintendo Podcast System. You can find us on email at NintendoPodcastSystem@gmail.com. But who really uses email anyway? I just thought it'd be good to say. What else? What else would be needed? Well, I need my keys and wallet to go out. This is very hastily done. I'm sorry. I know I'm the king of like getting stuff easily done, but whatever. This is a new slide you're seeing today. What else? You can find the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, and I'm not sure about other services, but I think we do have a couple others. I'm not sure. So please, if you like, check out any of those. Leave a description. Not a description. Leave a review if you'd like. A rating. Comments. What have you on the platform of your choice. On Twitter, you can follow Jack at Gorny7789. You can follow myself at Acegibbo, Acegibbo. There we go. it's a bit weird. Hopefully I could try and do more stuff. I definitely need to try and do more stuff. I know I've been saying it for like the past 2 years, but I just need to buckle down and find a decent name for my own place. So the song closing us out this episode is Life Will Change, which is not from Persona 5, but from Persona Q2, which is on a Nintendo console, so it is allowed. I'm sticking with my rules to the very end. Thank you so much for listening to episode 63 of Nintendo Podcast System. I hope you've all enjoyed this weird one. I hope you all enjoyed the Nintendo Direct. Thank you for those that sent in thoughts. Thank you all for listening, and happy gaming.